Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Qasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. Guest today, Mabel Nash Greenberg. Mabel, it's great to have you on. Tell us where you're calling in from and what you do for a living with Fruling.
Sure. Thank you so much for having me on the podcast, Matt. My name is Mabel Nash Greenberg. I'm the founder of Fruling. We make superfood snacks and we're based here in New York City. That's where I'm calling in from today.
That's amazing. So, and tell me a little bit more about your background. I mean, what kind of led you to, you know, creating a product in this space? And what was kind of the big issue you kind of saw out there in the market that you want to do a little bit differently with the product that you've made?
Well, my previous career was working as a filmmaker, and I was working in like media, and I was really trying to make a name for myself as an artist in my early 20s, but ended up working like just working way too much, you know, as is typical in New York. But I was taking like every creative job I could get, which also meant like supporting myself with working in restaurants and just any different job that came my way, I pretty much was saying yes to and ended up getting burned out. I was having like different health issues, which in retrospect, I think it had a lot to do with stress and my lack of good stress management tools at the time. But also, I think nutrition was a big piece of the puzzle that I hadn't figured out yet. And so in this period of burnout, I was invited to go to Europe to stay at a friend's house in Paris. And so when I was there, I was still working remotely for this wellness media company as a video editor. So I was learning a lot about nutrition at the time. And so I was thinking a lot about food and nutrition, but also trying to heal my body from these different stress-related symptoms. So, for example, I was having like psoriasis outbreaks, and I was also having like hormone imbalances, which because I think I had really high cortisol levels at the time, I had lost my period for a year, and I was trying to heal my body with food using an anti-inflammatory diet. And growing up in New York, I was exposed to like really high quality food and ingredients all the time, especially being in Europe. I was learning so much more about food and high quality ingredients and spending a lot of time in the organic shops and markets and getting really inspired by the ingredients that I was seeing because I noticed that there were just much higher quality nuts and raw ingredients in Europe than I was used to seeing in America. So basically I found myself wanting a really high quality grab and go snack option, like that was higher quality than the bars, like the healthy bars that I was seeing on the market. All of those were filled with like weird, like either they were high in sugar or high, the nuts they were using were low quality and often like tasted rancid. And through the nutrition classes, I was learning a lot about like the importance of the oils being keeping the oil stable in different ingredients so that they have anti-inflammatory properties rather than inflammatory properties. So I was starting to realize that a lot of these quote unquote healthy options weren't really that healthy. And so I just wanted something for myself that I could bring with me and that could kind of fill a couple different gaps in my own lifestyle at the time. So like that was kind of like a fast breakfast or a snack to have with a coffee when I was working in the cafe, because I always wanted like a fine pastry that like they sold in Paris and Berlin, but they were all filled with these like inflammatory ingredients like wheat and, you know, dairy. And I was trying to avoid those ingredients at the time as a way to heal my skin from psoriasis. And so basically I realized that these pastry chefs were using like really high quality versions of nuts that I had never, they were just so much more flavorful and also nutrient dense than what I was used to having in America. So I started just trying to buy the highest quality ingredients I could and then combine them in a way that it would be like a snack that if I ate it every day, it would designed to hit like the recommended daily amounts for all these like necessary vitamins and minerals and micronutrients that our body needs to function optimally. So for example, each bag of that's what our original superfood snack was designed to be, which was kind of like a daily supplement to deliver like the full range of minerals and micronutrients that your body needs to function optimally. So I learned at that time that you're supposed to be eating like two Brazil nuts every day for your daily dose of selenium. And so that was one of the things where I just thought, you know, I need to find a way to get my two Brazil nuts every day. So I started making this snack mix and each mix had two Brazil nuts. And I just, once I kind of started with that thought process, I really started thinking like, how can I get my hands on the highest quality ingredients. And so I started researching like what pliers the best pastry chefs in the world were sourcing from. And I started reaching out directly to them and asking them like what I needed in order to be buying like wholesale from them. And so I guess that was a period of time when I was really kind of like downloading a lot of like inspiration and just ideas that would later become the brand Fruehling. But yeah, I ended up like living in Berlin for about 11 months in 2017. And that was where I came up with the whole idea. Hence the name Fruehling means springtime in German. And that's, I always just love that word. But yeah, once I tried these amazing pistachios from the base of the volcano Mount Etna in Sicily, they're called Bronte pistachios. They were just so much more flavorful than any other pistachio I tried. And the color was like, it was emerald green with this like beautiful fuchsia skin filled with anthocyanins and micronutrients that are great for your skin and your heart and your circulatory system. That was really when I realized that I needed to find the highest quality versions of all these nuts I was including in the mix. And once I came up with that idea, I realized there was nothing really else out on the market that was like a truly high quality, nutrient dense and mineral rich grab and go snack food. So that became like the concept that I have been building ever since then.
That's amazing. I really appreciate you sharing that story. It's incredible. And I know you said you kind of came up with the idea in 2017, Germany. When was the actual like launch of the product when you actually, you know, went to market for the first time? I'm curious.
It was in 2020, this summer of 2020. So I guess to connect the dots from Berlin, I ended up getting a job back in America in 2018. So that's why I moved back to New York. And that was a job, I was working at this company called Culture Trip, and I was a video commissioner. So I was coming up with story ideas for videos that we about like cultural stories and food and community across North and South America. Mostly America was where we were focused at the time, but I ended up like producing a bunch of short documentaries mostly about food. That's kind of like where I really fell in love with like the storytelling aspect of like food and really seeing food as this bridge between people, between cultures, a place where people can come together and really share their values, they can share meaningful experiences, and you know, it just connects all of us. So I really kind of fell in love with food on another level in that job. And then I left, I was there for about 2 years and left in 2019, I believe, to really dedicate myself full time to building Fruehling. And then I spent about a year laying the foundation with regard to like setting up the business, like all the operational stuff, like business insurance, you know, like all that stuff, licensing and everything. But then by the time, so yeah, and then COVID hit, which was obviously not something I was anticipating, but we were just ready to launch in spring or summer of 2020, and so we did in the middle of a global pandemic. But
yeah, I mean, how'd you kind of grapple with that? I mean, I speak to a lot of CPG founders on the podcast, and, you know, and a lot of them started 2018, 2019, and obviously, you know, if they were big in wholesale at the time, had to kind of pivot to selling online, and you know, obviously it's like any myriad of pivots you had to make depending on where you were in the world and the types of way that you were selling. So what was your kind of go-to-market strategy at that time? Were you trying to sell like more direct to consumer during that time since everything was kind of shut down, or what was your general strategy to, you know, start selling this in the launch in 2020?
We launched with wholesale and direct to consumer at the same time. The first time we sold was at Hester Street Fair, which it's an amazing fair. And have you been there? I know you're from New York.
No, I've heard of it though. I've not gone, but yeah, I've definitely heard of it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a great fair. I love, we still sell there and do great business with them. But they started on Hester Street. And so we launched at one of their market days. My friend, Pat Hoblin, he runs a company called Pat's Pants, and he also has an alkaline food venture. He invited Fruehling to be a vendor because he was curating like a day at Hester Street. And so that was our first day to actually sell and see like, for people to actually buy our products. It was a really cool moment. And it gave us a lot of momentum, but we did start with wholesale as well. Like I basically would bring samples to different like local small grocery stores in the city, and we got picked up by Dimes Market. That has led to several other like really great placements and partnerships. So wholesale has been really good for landing other wholesale accounts and also for people to discover us. Sometimes they'll discover us in stores and then end up buying online direct to consumer. So yeah, so we launched both at the same time.
Yeah, that's awesome. And when you think about your D2C sales, I'm curious, obviously, you know, having that more like kind of direct customer interaction can be very illuminating for like, you know, those types of people that might be interested in the product, who your kind of, you know, like typical demographic is. So what do you kind of find on that side of things? I mean, what does your kind of typical demographic look like for somebody, whether it's like, you know, age, gender, whatever it might be? Do you find something kind of more typical in a category of people that are, you know, buying and recurringly buying from you online?
Yeah, I would say our biggest demographic is like in their 30s, 30s to 40s. We skew a little female, but it's pretty even. It's like, I think it's like 60, 40 female to male. And then the second most powerful demographic that we sell to is a little bit older women. Like I believe 40s to 60s is like this. We sell a lot to women high power women who are just like on the go, either they have families. There's like a lot of real estate agents, like people who I think just live very like on the go lifestyles, but who really appreciate high quality food. I think that that's like our bread and butter, but we do have a mix, pretty wide range actually.
Yeah, it's pretty fascinating actually. It's a very specific demographic with real estate agents. That's really interesting. Yeah. And then I guess I'm curious too, you know, obviously, you know, somebody finds you in the store, they try it, they love it, and they just like look you up, see if they can get it direct from you naturally. But when you kind of find somebody who maybe that wasn't their experience, like what kind of channels are people you know, coming to the website from? What do you think is your biggest driver like to your website for like a new customer acquisition that way?
Well, actually recently we were very lucky to have been discovered by an influencer named Jennifer Fisher, who is a jewelry maker, and she also has a salt company, which is amazing. And
very cool.
She discovered Fruling last month, and I believe Food 52 had gifted her our product, but she just organically posted on her social media about our other product, Nocciola, which I don't have a bag right now, but she posted a very sweet, nice video that about how much she loved Nocciola and that. And she's since posted like 3 times, I think, about our products. And every single time she posts, like we see an enormous spike in sales. So our traffic comes a lot from social media. Google, there's still pretty good traffic coming from Google. But social media is like probably like 60%. And a lot of people buy on mobile. But yeah, we have seen a lot of growth through like these organic partnerships with people who just naturally discover a product and really like it.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. And do you find that most of the people I guess I should ask, like, is this influencer based in New York? And are most of your sales are doing direct to consumer in New York as well? I would assume it probably would be, but.
She is based in New York. And a lot of the sales we do are in New York. A lot are in Los Angeles, Santa Monica. Oh, and then also there's a lot in like Texas, surprisingly, Connecticut, like around Greenwich area, Long Island, like Hamptons area, also like Colorado and like states where there's like a big like outdoor activities community. They really have, we found a resonance there. And also there's a lot of people who ski also really like Fruling, because from what I've heard from them, it's like they like that it's nutrient dense, it's filling, but it keeps you light on your feet. Like you can eat this and feel really full for a long time because it has a lot of protein, it has a lot of fiber, minerals and micronutrients that really like satisfy you and keep you full, but it's not like a heavy meal that you're going to have to take a nap or a siesta after you eat some.
Yeah, no, it's amazing. I'm a skier myself, being from upstate New York originally, so I definitely get that. And yeah, it's definitely one of my go-tos. And it's nice too, because a lot of things you bring up there, they'll either melt if you're too hot, like if something's like in your breast pocket, or it gets too cold, then things can freeze, and then like you can't eat it or you can't chew it. So nuts are, I feel like it's perfect for that activity. It actually is. That's not surprising, although it is interesting that you kind of like found that niche organically. And I mean, I guess there is a lot of like ex Angelinos and New Yorkers in like Denver and Texas these days. A lot of people moving to those places, so that I guess that kind of makes sense too. But yeah, that's really fascinating. And I guess also one thing I always love to ask everybody that comes on the podcast, obviously you've been in business now, your initial launch 2019, this has been obviously 5 years now. I mean, everything you've learned since then, which has obviously been a lot, you know, selling online, selling with retailers, doing any entrepreneurial project, obviously, you know, you learn a lot of things the hard way along the way. If you could go back to 2019 and give yourself any piece of advice, if you were to start again, what do you think that piece of advice would be?
That's a good question. Maybe try to go a little harder on sales from earlier on, because I was managing it all by myself until like pretty recently. And I think we got a decent amount of traction just from me like doing outreach, but I found the sales process like pretty exhausting and difficult to manage on my own, just because there is a lot of rejection that comes with doing outreach. And it's just hard to deal with that much rejection on a regular basis and keep going. So I've had periods when I was the only one doing sales outreach where it was like, I would need to like check out from it because I just couldn't deal with all of that. But now there's somebody helping me with sales, and we've just seen a lot of momentum and of growth since bringing her on. So that's been great. And it's helping help us get more momentum. But yeah, that would probably be my recommendation.
You know, it's fair enough. It's good advice. And it's a really interesting answer, actually, because if you can even believe it, one of the most common answers I get to that question is actually to take it slower in the beginning. That people actually like think they get like too kind of spread thin in the beginning, doing too much business in like in wholesale and don't really have the capacity, or just like taking up all their time, or they can't fulfill online orders or things like that. So it's a really interesting perspective. That's why I always like to ask that question, because, you know, depending on the industry and depending on different people's experiences, where they are, who they're selling to, those experiences can be monumentally different. So I appreciate you sharing that. And that the perspective is always super valuable. That's why I always love to ask that question. And
that's a great question.
I guess one other question I would ask is, you know, you think about, so the salesperson you hired, I assume they're like doing, you know, kind of like B2B, like working with other retailers to get into like more doors that way, right?
Yeah, it's like a lot of small grocery stores. That's kind of where our focus has been, but also working on building partnerships with different like fitness and recovery brands, because there's some different, you know, we actually met at this gym, Dog Pound Gym, where we have a partnership. But yeah, there's like a few, she's been helping build relationships with like a couple of different brands, because there's a few things popping up in New York and LA about that are focused on like recovery and like saunas and stuff like that. And I think that there's a lot of like alignments there. So yeah.
Yeah, it definitely seems like that is true. I never really like deliberated on it, but that definitely has been like a trending thing, I feel like, recently.
Is, yeah.
Like the sauna, ice bath, like sort of thing. So, and like what do they call those? Those cryo chambers is a big one, yeah. I know too. I don't know if we're past that. I feel like that was like the first like recovery trend that happened. And then I don't know, that kind of came and went, and it's like it stuck around, but like those didn't, it seemed like. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know why that came and went so fast. I mean, I've done it many times. It's,
yeah.
it's extremely beneficial, I think. But
yeah, I agree. I like cryotherapy. And yeah. It's funny how it just kind of disappeared.
I know, it was like huge. People were like, there was like all these salespeople like slinging these machines like all over to like every mall in America and like all these gyms and stuff. And then it just like all kind of withered away. I don't know what happened.
I know, it's interesting. I wonder about that too. But one of my personal interests is like Chinese medicine. And I think like I kind of moved away from the cryo thing because I learned that in Chinese medicine, like they believe it's more warmth is more beneficial to the body and to the organs, especially for like female organs than cold, because it keeps the blood moving and the energy flowing instead of like stagnation. That's at least what I believe the Chinese medicine philosophy is. So I don't know if that's what had anything to do with like the larger cultural shift away from cryotherapy, but I think that's why I became obsessed with like saunas and steam rooms and like warm.
Everybody was just too cold and they started going to the steam room instead, I think.
Yeah. I think so.
That's so funny. But yeah, I guess, I just want to give you an opportunity as well, Mabel, before we hop off, just to plug your website anyway for people to get in touch with you, whether it's for a business partnership or they just want to check out the products, see where they can find it. What's the best way to stay in touch with you all?
Oh, our website is www.fruhling.co. That's FRUHLING.co. And our Instagram is the same. It's at fruhling.co. And then if you have any questions, we have a little thing on our website where you can reach out to us on like a form on the website. But you can also email hello@fruhling.co if you're interested in potentially having some kind of partnership or selling with us. Or yeah, you can reach out with any questions to hello@fruhling.co.
Awesome. Awesome. Maybe I just want to say thank you again for coming on. I love what you're doing. I just want to wish you the best of luck, continued success. I really look forward to staying in touch with you. And we'll definitely be in touch in a few weeks. And when the podcast is getting ready to post and all that kind of good stuff. But yeah, definitely looking forward to staying in touch.
Thank you so much, Matt. I really appreciated your time. And thank you for having me on.
You as well. Thanks for coming on. I appreciate you. Thanks, Mabel.
Thanks. Good
Thanks, everybody.
Bye.